Great to have you along today on WPR News. It's great to have you with us as we talk a little bit about those everyday skills. Not everybody reaches adulthood knowing how to cook, for example, or be familiar with their rights as renters, or maybe how to maintain productive workplace relationship. Adulting kind of has to be learned. And fortunately for us, there are people out there teaching those necessary everyday skills. Amanda Kosman is one of them, a family living educator with UW-Madison's Division of Extension's Human Development and Relationships Institute. She teaches classes in Walworth County for high school students and adults on independent living, on financial capability, and on health and well-being. So as we talk with Amanda, I hope you'll join in. Would you take or have your teenage children take classes on how to manage money or maybe develop healthy eating and exercise habits? What life skills do you wish you'd learned in high school? There were a few I wish I'd learned. I know that for sure. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear your experiences. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Amanda Kosman, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, you've been an extension educator for some 20 years, and now you're with extension in the Human Development Relationships Institute.
Yes, I am. I'm enjoying my time in that institute now. I used to be in youth development as well.
So you have, and what is the institute? I mean, it sounds like it covers a broad area.
Oh, yeah, it's very broad. We have, for the human development relationships, we talk about family relationships, and then we also will talk about aging, so that in that other end of the spectrum, so we'll talk about aging populations, and I really focus my time in the financial area. But of course, you know, we know that finances don't happen in a vacuum, so, you know, I'm always touching a variety of different areas of young people and even dabbling in the Health and Well-being Institute to help bring some of that stuff in as well.
Has this changed? You've been doing this for 20 years. Has this changed a lot over the years in your mind?
Well, things have changed so much in 20 years, and myself included. as I grow older, I get more wisdom. And so in my extension career, as I started out wanting to be a 4-H educator, and I love 4-H. But as I worked with juvenile justice programs, with the teen court program, I started to really realize that parents and finances really play a huge role in people's lives and some of these skills. So really through that juvenile justice and helping people develop these skills and this communication style would really be helpful. So that's when I made the transition to the human development and relationships area, because I really wanted to start helping kids before they started getting into trouble and helping families before they got into trouble.
I was thinking back, as you mentioned, you were involved in 4-H. Actually, a lot of things I learned, even managing money, because I had a calf, you know, showed calves, and you had to fill out all of these forms and keep track of expenses. And I took a cooking project, and had a whole variety of other projects, and 4-H was actually pretty darn helpful.
I 100% agree. I still volunteer with 4-H. I had rabbits and pigs, and those forms really were, I think, the key to my money management success and what gave me interest in that at a young age.
Well, I had rabbits, too. I forgot about the rabbits. And an electricity project and leathercraft and, just a whole gamut. Well, let's forget it. Enough about me. Let's turn. So the settings for this, you teach high school students and adults in Walworth County. What kind of settings do you like? Do you work in or like to work in?
Well, I like to work where I can meet people where they're at. So where I can reach the people the most effectively. So sometimes that might be in a homeless shelter. Sometimes that might be in the high school classroom. Sometimes they'll come to me and meet in my building for a class during the day. Sometimes it's at the Health and Human Services with kids who are placed outside the home through social services. This could be anywhere where people gather. This could be a library, and they're comfortable enough to really learn. So it really depends on who my target audience might be, where they're most comfortable, where I can make it most convenient for them to learn. And we do a lot of offsite stuff with our independent living as well, if possible. So sometimes we're meeting in some of our partners' places so that they can kind of get to know where the services are and feel comfortable accessing those services.
Yeah. So you're in Walworth County. Can these classes be taken in other Wisconsin counties?
Absolutely. So we have educators in most of the 72 counties in Wisconsin. And so we have educators that will work towards that. So sometimes they are 4-H educators or youth development educators. Sometimes they're going to be from the Human Development Relationships Institute. So these can be people all over the state of Wisconsin. Not all counties offer this kind of program, but many counties do.
And I'm wondering if there must be, or maybe not, are there efforts among them to share experience and resources?
Absolutely. In Extension, we really love the Wisconsin idea. So we're trying to bring the university resources to where people live, work, and play. And so one of the things we're doing is, since I've been teaching this program in some shape or form and for probably 20 years, although it's evolved over time, we're going to be putting together a curriculum for people to work with young people. We're calling it independent living skills. It is focused primarily on youth that are placed outside the home through social services, but it's going to be really applicable to anybody. And the people can take this curriculum. We're in the process of writing it, so it's not available yet. But we're going to actually be able to have people take that and apply it to the populations they're working with. We're going to make sure it's flexible so that people can meet the needs of their audiences where they are. And we're going to hopefully, you know, be able to replicate that and train trainers to be able to use it as well.
So you have, as we've been talking here, you're interested in teach financial literacy, but there's also health and independent living for high school students and adults. How do you determine the information that people need the most?
Well, we've done some focus groups with our population. So we really talked to them about what things do they need. What things do they need to be successful? What information do they need? What things make them most comfortable in doing that? So we've talked to those focus groups. We've also worked with caseworkers and school staff to find out what things they think their students need. And I've also worked with in the past young people who are, you know, in that early 20s. What things do they wish they would have known when they were, you know, starting out on their independent life when they were doing that? And so we've been putting and compiling these things. There's some things that are core to this, being an informed renter, making sure your home is clean. But we also have other modules that I give in my class at the beginning, kind of a survey of what things do you want to know? What things do you need to know? What are your goals? So sometimes I will be teaching a class and we will go to the laundromat and learn how to do laundry. But if every kid in my class or most of the kids already know how to do laundry, I'm not going to focus time on that. I might take them to a car dealership and find out, how do you buy a car? And how do you work through that process? How do you get a loan? How are you loan worthy? How are you able to make those payments? What happens if you can't make that loan? So that they are successful as adults. So really, these skills, it could be things about healthy relationships. It could be eating healthy meals and how to go grocery shopping on a budget and working through all of those different skills that people need as an adult to be successful, and really meeting those young people where they need to increase those skills to feel confident moving into their adult life.
Do you invite from time to time, or maybe I should say, when do you invite professionals from the community? I think that could be a good learning experience, maybe for the professionals you bring in as well. But I think it'd be useful to have a situation like that, where you've got people from the community who can come in and talk as well.
We do that all the time. So when I talk about legal issues, we have an attorney from Walworth County that comes in. He does a great job talking to kids, not just about rental things, but when you're signing a lease, what things you need to look for, if you're pulled over, if you ever go to court, how to retain an attorney, all those kind of different things. So we bring in an attorney. When we are talking about healthcare, we bring in somebody from the healthcare field. They talk about insurance, how to use it, how to get it, how, what things you need to bring to the doctor, how do you have a good conversation with your doctor, what things do you have to note. And so we actually embed this in the program as we go so that not only are the youth learning the information they might need, but also so they have a positive connection and can talk to the actual provider so they feel more comfortable having those conversations as they grow up. Because our young people have told us that they're afraid to be unsuccessful. So that sometimes holds them back from making the call. So this way, if we can have somebody who's actually in the profession, give the kids the opportunity to really hear from them what they need to hear from them, so they feel more prepared to have those conversations. So, and we also want to make sure the kids get a positive connection and feel comfortable with those people.
Pretty cool. We're talking with Amanda Kosman, family living educator in Walworth County for UW Extension's Human Development and Relationship Institute. Questions for her, I hope you'll give a call or maybe an experience to share. I'd love to hear from you. The number's 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll be listening at 11 o'clock. We'll be listening to some new Christmas music. Author and podcaster Tom Wilmoth comes by a couple times a year to talk about music, usually summertime and then around the Christmas time. And it's always a lot of fun. We'll be playing a lot of songs. But then at noon, none other than Santa Claus and Jingle the Elf will be here taking calls from children. And if you have a child or grandchild or children around with you tomorrow at, from noon to one, I hope you'll call in or have the kids call in. It's got, you know, you can call, but then let the kids do the talking and tell Santa what they want for Christmas. That's kind of one of the fun shows of the year for us, and I always look forward to it. Right now, Amanda Kosman's visiting with us, family living educator with UW Extension, works out of Walworth County, works a lot with high school students and adults. She zeroes in a little on financial capability, but I'm sure independent living and maybe even health and well-being come into play as part of the work that she does. And love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. What, you, John sent a note. Where can we find out information on what adulting classes are available?
Well, you can always go to, of course, our website. If you Google UW Extension Financial Education, there's a variety of programs that you can go ahead and see. So we have some for end users, so people who want the information for themselves. And we also have some for professionals to work towards. So if you're a helping professional or volunteer, there's a lot of professional development. Some of my favorites are financial coaching. And like you said just earlier, finances, you know, that's what I focus on, and it says it's financial coaching, but there's sometimes we just focus on communication skills, having healthy boundaries with people and stuff like that. So, you know, it all goes together with finances. So we can do financial coaching on the website. We have a program called Planning Ahead, which helps people plan as they age for either, you know, retirement and beyond. So even end of life for themselves or for their loved ones, and helps them be prepared. That's 7 parts long. So we really do delve deep into it. We have Rent Smart, of course, which is my baby. I'm one of the co-chairs for that one at the state level. And so that one really talks and focuses on making sure people are informed renters and make sure that they have all the information they need. Although I say a lot of landlords actually attend as well to get that information. It really is helpful to making sure that they have the best experience possible when they're going to be doing that. We also have things like Money Smart and Head Start. So it helps parents to talk to their kids about finances from a young age in a positive way so that they learn those positive, developmentally appropriate skills so the kids can grow up being good at finances. We also have something called Money Matters, which are kind of the basics of finance, but are online so they can do it kind of as they would like to do that. There's so many programs that we offer in so many different ways. I really encourage going to the website and finding out what program you're interested in.
That makes a lot of sense. I was thinking back, it's been what, maybe a year or nearly a year ago, Wisconsin started requiring that high school graduates have a half credit of personal finance literacy. I think that's starting with the class of 2028.
Yeah, I'm so glad that they're doing that. So many of our young people say that they don't have the skills or they don't feel prepared in finances to be able to manage their money in a positive manner. So I'm really glad that they enacted that. It is up to the schools and how they want to incorporate that. And they really know their students best. So they've been incorporating ways that I think are meaningful for their students.
Yeah. How flexible is the financial literacy curriculum for Wisconsin high school students?
I don't think there's an actual curriculum. I believe that a lot of times the schools are looking for curriculums on their own. So some of the times we've had teachers show up to like our Rent Smart. So I said that it was a great class for renters, but we actually have a train the trainer. So teachers could come on and learn how to be a Rent Smart facilitator, and that would give them the curriculum they need. So they really can talk about, depending on the class, what is most appropriate for their classroom and their students.
Do you help parents talk to their kids about financial matters?
Absolutely. I love it. We have Money As You Grow for those young kids. But when I'm coaching, actually, I would say almost every parent wants to ask me a question about how do I talk to my kids about this? And so financial coaching, we really delve into some of the ways that they can work towards having those financial conversations. That's another program we have for volunteers and adults. It's called Encouraging Financial Conversations. Parents can go to that too, of course. And that really helps them have positive conversations because so many times kids, young adults, all they hear is no, and finances are something that limits them. And so this is how can you have positive financial conversations and teach them the positive skills they have, not just, oh, we don't have enough money and, you know, making them feel like money is a bad thing or a dirty word.
Yeah, I can remember instances of, no, we can't afford that, or don't ask again, things of that nature. I've probably been on both the giving and receiving ends of those kinds of discussions, to be perfectly honest. Paul in La Crosse has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Paul.
Hi. How do you negotiate with the landlord not to keep raising the rent, if possible?
So how do you, okay.
So in our Rent Smart curriculum, we would talk about positive communications in that. And I would actually have to look at your lease to see when can they raise their rent. If you're on a month-to-month lease, that can be lease. It could be happen way more often. And you also have to think about, is it a year lease, a six-month lease? And so it can only be done at the end of your term of your contract. So that's one of the things you want to talk about. But also having that open line of conversation and that positive relationship is really important as well, and making sure that you're having the conversation in a way that your listener, which would be the landlord, is receiving the message and helping to engage in solution building for you and helping engaging that them in that positive way. It's a long answer, and I don't think we have enough time to do that, and I wish I could, but I would really encourage you to actually send me an email and we can talk about that. Or if you'd like to join our Rent Smart, you are more than welcome. It is free, and we offer it monthly starting in February because January is that train the trainer for professionals and volunteers. But February, we'll start with the end user one all over again, and we have all these discussions. And that's 6 hours long, so it's quite a bit of time that we have to discuss that.
So just so I understand it, people who own the property can only ask for increases when the contract is about up.
Yes, at the end of the lease.
At the end of the lease. And that is true even if somebody buys the property and then wants to raise the rates right away?
The lease is the lease until that time. And so they can do that. Now, there are some things they can do. So there are some steps they can take. So don't take that as, you know, there's always an exception to the rule. So don't, you know, hold me to that 100%. But in standard terms, they have to follow the lease provisions until the end of the lease.
What? Tell us more about the RentSmart program you've got.
Well, the RentSmart program, we go through a whole bunch of things. We talk about, can you afford it? Positive communication, how to see any red flags, how to protect yourself from losing money. That might be at the end of the lease. It might be increases. It might be signing a longer lease so they can't increase it too many times, for example. This could be making sure that you're having positive, like starting the conversation in a way that you're engaging them to help you with an issue that you might be having versus coming back at it at a combative way. We talk about, you know, choosing apartments in a way that you can, how to have those conversations with your partner if you're going to be living with somebody to make sure it meets the most of your needs so you don't have to move out in a year because it doesn't meet your needs. We talk about interviewing your landlord as much as they're interviewing you so that you can make sure that this is a landlord that you feel comfortable living with. So that's, we go through a full gamut. It is 6 hours long. We even go through a lease specifically in detail through a scavenger hunt to make it fun because we always, you know, we don't like talking at people. So we always have a lot of activities to make things fun as we can make them. And so that people really get an understanding of what Wisconsin laws are around this and they can protect themselves and make sure that they are probably the best renter they possibly can, because information and knowing these things is super important. A lot of my clients might not know what they're supposed to do, and that makes it harder for the landlord and the tenant.
An email here, are the majority of these programs in person? Are there programs that are offered via Google Meet, for example, or, you know, something like that?
Or a lot Zoom? Of our programs are there. Yep, they're via, we do Zoom. So RentSmart, we do almost monthly. So January and July, we don't have the end user program, but we have train the trainer programs. So that happens monthly, and that's all via Zoom. I teach my programs when I go to the high school, to the homeless shelter, are all in person. So it really depends if your county has a financial educator in it, like myself. If we do, then you likely would have some of those programs in person. But if you don't, then you can always access some of those programs online via Zoom. And so we do offer a variety of different options for people to meet their needs and make sure that, you know, the information gets out there, because it does no good sitting on my shelf.
How often do you work with people who are court ordered to learn the skills you teach? Does that ever happen?
Oh, yes. When I was a 4-H educator, I worked with that youth court program I told you guys about, and I had to teach a success skills class. So this is the precursor for kids. It was either me or lockup. It also was a sanction for kids that went through teen court if they felt like they needed some of these success skills. So, you know, it was more a positive spin on life skills or independent living. It was being successful in life. So that was one of them. We do have people that are court ordered to come into the RentSmart program, either virtually or not. We also have housing authorities in the state who will grant 1 year positive rental history to those who complete the RentSmart program. And there are landlords who know what the RentSmart curriculum is, so they might do that. So there's a variety of ways people are encouraged to attend the programs, whether it be court ordered, incentivized, or just because they want to be successful in their rental lives. And I would say they might come in a little bit, like, especially if they're court ordered, like, I don't want to do this. I just have to check a box. But I will say those people usually leave going, I really didn't want to do this, but I got a lot of good information and thank you. So I'm really excited by, you know, the response. So we do have that. And they're like, I didn't want to be here, but they made me and I'm glad I was. So I'm so happy when that happens.
When you, and that's, I was going to ask you about examples of successes. Do you have some other personal anecdotes that you might relate to us?
I have young people who leave my independent living, who are youth that are placed outside the home through social services. They would be leaving my program on the last day. We do a little bit of a celebration. They're like, everybody should have to do this. Everybody should have to go through this class. I can't believe they don't make everybody do it. When we come out through the homeless shelter, I actually do a program where they get an incentive for doing a follow-up survey with me. And they, I get so many positive stories that people are really changing their lives and the way they, their relationship with money has changed, the way they manage money or the way they use it or have taken control of money has changed, the way they think about money has changed. They have better, more safe and stable housing. There are some studies or some surveys results on our website that talk, and those who are seeking new housing, I think it was in the 80% had found more safe and stable housing after going through the program. So we've got lots of positive outcomes that come from this program.
And again, where do we go to learn more about the program? I looked online, and it's pretty cool what you've got there, and pretty easy to use. But tell people how to get to that.
Well, the URL that I'd go is finances.extension.wisc.edu. But if you put in UW Extension Financial Programs, it'll come up too. So just to make it easier for you guys, because nobody wants a big URL.
No.
You can find that. You could also go to just the extension page and find things about parenting education. We have things about aging. So if you have aging parents, to help prepare them. This is right down to where are your passwords and where do you keep them and where do you keep the will and everything like that. We also have programming on mental health issues, and that's a big deal. We have parenting on eating health or curriculum on eating healthy. We have gardening curriculums. We have apple tree curriculums. I have apples. I can see them out my window. So I'm like, we have so many fun programs that can help people and engage them where they are and where they really want to go.
Amanda, it's been great fun talking with you. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get a chance to meet again and talk. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Amanda Kosman, a family living educator in Walworth County for UW Extension. I'm Larry Mueller.